The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Good morning. I told Jeremiah Tuesday night that we plan out these series, and somehow I got the short end of the stick on this one, because 2 weeks ago I had a tough one, and Jeremiah got an easy one. Actually, Jeremiah got an easy one to begin with. You know, an easy one as far as they're nice. You know, you feel good about them. Then the next week I got one not so nice, not so easy to feel good about, a little more challenging. Last week, Jeremiah got one. It's nice. Easy to deal with. This week, I got the ugliest one of the bunch, which is only fitting since I am the ugliest one of this bunch. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 15, back to the Lord's Prayer. I love this. Remember what we're doing, folks. We're teaching you a way, actually really to challenge you to pray. You don't have to pray exactly this way. What we're giving you is an agenda, if you will. And when you go to the Lord in prayer, ways that you can go to Him and say, "Here, here's God. Here's what I need. A way to make sure that all of your stuff gets taken care of." So let's go. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness, and that's why I said I get the ugly one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's where the easy stuff stops. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's yours next week, and that's not going to be any fun either. So, I don't feel so bad. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Easy prayer, right? In fact, if you've ever been around a football team, you prayed it before games. All these guys all sweaty from the game. And we say the Lord's Prayer at the end. Not sure why, but we do. It's always been kind of that kind of thing. But there's a part in here we're going to talk about today. This: forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In fact, Jesus thought it was so important that He went on a couple of verses later. So you got your Bible, you turn to Matthew 6, then you'll see verse 14 and 15, which is actually the next verse. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, trespass is a nice way of saying sins. So understand what we're saying here. Father, forgive me the same way that as we forgive. Forgive us our debts as we, literally means in the same way. So God, I want You to forgive me the same way I forgive other people. How? If you want to go home now, I totally understand. It doesn't get any easier from here on out. See, one of the things that you're going to come to know as you're, first of all, as long as you're around church people, people in church fail. You don't have to follow me along very long. And Joanna's here. My wife is here. My wife, Lynette. Joanna, who works with me. My wife, Lynette. They're around me all the time. Trust me. If you ask them how many times I've failed, they would see, you know, they would fill up a book just from yesterday. We fail. People fail. We make mistakes. We do things wrong. And the nice thing about the Bible is the Bible doesn't give us a washed-up picture of these guys. The Bible doesn't give us some sanitized view of these guys. It shows us these guys, warts and all. It shows us these guys, you know, the disciples come across sometimes as not real smart. You know, you can see that with Jesus saying some of these sayings, and then the disciples are like, oh, yes, that's very intelligent, Lord. Thank you. Yes. Then they get the Lord away from the crowd. They say, hey, what'd that mean? We see fights amongst them. We see, you know, kind of jockeying for position in a couple of places. In fact, one of them, you know, James and John's mom went to Jesus and said, hey, started lobbying for her sons. Hey, when you get to heaven, make one of them your right-hand guy, the other your left-hand guy. Can't go wrong. They're good kids. And Jesus' answer to her was really sweet. You know, that's great, but if they want to be leaders, they have to first be servants. See, one of the things we find out about Jesus is there's no easy way. There's nothing cheap about being a Christian, folks. And these, I was going to say morons, but that's not very nice. These morons that think that being a Christian is easy don't understand what being a Christian is. It's easy to go with the flow. It's easy to be like everybody else around you. It's easy to blend into your surroundings. It's hard to be godly. But it's also necessary. It's also what we're to be, what we're supposed to do. The idea that Jesus is putting forth here in the Lord's Prayer, and how many times have we prayed this? Lord, forgive me the way I forgive others. Well, it doesn't get that easy. If I make people, let me out, let me in. If I make people beg and crawl for my forgiveness, then God, you make me beg and crawl for yours. Anybody here been stingy with forgiveness this week? Please, no show of hands. In fact, has anybody here just not been forgiving this week? Somebody has ticked you off and said, you know what? That's it. I'm tired of forgiving you. Or maybe you're just kind of nursing your hurt. Maybe it's easier for you just to feel that pain of anger. I heard somebody say one time, well, I'm angry and I'm not done being angry yet. Okay. What does that mean? I'm not done being angry yet. What, you have, you know, a few more ugly thoughts to think before you're totally done here? What? This is going to hit home today. Lord, I want you to be as generous to me with your forgiveness as I am to others with mine. First point today is forgive us. First part of our prayer is, God, forgive us. Colossians 3.13, I don't know if I put that on the slide or not, Jeremy. No, I didn't. Colossians 3.13 says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Our job as Christians is to forgive. Matthew 6, oh, there it is. I skipped one, didn't I? Yeah. It happens. Bearing with one another. And by bearing with one another doesn't mean, you know, gritting your teeth and getting along. The Bible doesn't think of things that way. It doesn't portray things that way. When the Bible says to bear with one another, it means to embrace one another, to actually hold them up. Not just say, all right, I'm here. I don't want to be, but I'm here. Hello? Even as Christ forgave you, so you all must do. So how does Christ forgive us? Well, first of all, Jesus took the initiative in forgiving us. Understand that Jesus forgave us first. And we said, even as Christ forgave, so you also must give. So that means that in your life, you've got to be the first to forgive. In your life, you've got to be the one who takes the initiative in forgiving, just like Jesus did. Jesus died on the cross before you ever knew you had sins. Jesus died on the cross before you were thought of, except by God. Understand, this game we play where sometimes we want them to say they're sorry first, that's not forgiveness. That's not the way this works, guys. As Christians, we've got to take the initiative in forgiving. 1 John 1:9 says, if we make it our habit to confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've got to be the ones. We've got to take the initiative. Second thing you need to know is that He bore all the costs. This is where it really starts to hurt, isn't it? See, it's easy to forgive if it doesn't cost us anything. It's easy to forgive if it says, oh, yeah, I forgive you. You know, somebody bumps you in the store. Sorry. Oh, it's okay. That's an easy one, right? What about when they really hurt you to your core? What if they really stepped on your heart? And now they want you to bear the cost of forgiveness. Understand, folks, Jesus bore all the costs for us. But we want them to suffer some pain, don't we? We want them to feel a little bit of the hurt. Well, you know, Lord, I'm willing to forgive if they feel some pain. God, I'll forgive them, but, you know, whack them around a couple of times first, would you? Like the Holy Spirit has a whack-a-mole game in heaven or something. When your head pops up, you get popped one. How many times have I said it? It's not fair. I didn't deserve this. I didn't ask for this. And yet, I still have to forgive. I dealt with a young lady when I was youth pastoring. I dealt with a young lady who had been molested. I told her she needed to forgive the person who molested her. Not for him, for her. She's carrying all this unforgiveness inside her. She's carrying all this hatred, all this animosity inside, and it's tearing her apart. This guy's living his life. She's not hurting him. If you're carrying unforgiveness in your heart today, you're not hurting that person. You're hurting you. You carry it with you. It eats at your stomach. And every time you think about them, you know, you feel that pain, you feel that sorrow. Who's suffering through this? You are. Sometimes we're willing to forgive, but that person will show good faith. Well, if you promise not to do it again, I'll forgive you. Understand that forgiveness can only be without cost. Forgiveness can only come if you give it freely, with nothing, no strings attached. Because otherwise it's penance. Otherwise it's some kind of wage they've earned. You can't earn forgiveness, it can only be given. He bore all the costs, and so must we. The next part is that He forgives whether or not we ask or accept it. Can I be honest with you? I don't always get an A here. This is a course where, you know, I struggle with my grades sometimes. Because there have been people who have said things to me and done things to me, and, you know, I wanted to forgive them, and I forgave them. And they acted like I had nothing to forgive them for. Well, why are you forgiving me? Whatever do to you? Well, remember when you hit me in the eye? I felt bad about that, and so I forgive you. Yeah, well, you had it coming. And he's probably right. Whether or not we ask or accept it, understand that Jesus died on the cross for you before you ask Him to, before you accepted the fact that He did it, you were forgiven. You can't get any more forgiven than you are right this moment. You need to understand that. Jesus died on the cross, your forgiveness was paid for, lock, stock, and barrel. Cool. Smile. Forgiven. All you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is accept it. If I was going to give you a car, and I got a couple that I can, a couple spares. It wouldn't be your car until you got it and drove away. It wouldn't be your car until you signed the pink slip and took possession of it. And there's all these people going through life with their sins forgiven by God, and yet they don't accept it, so it doesn't really count to their account. They still live under the burden of their sins. They still walk through every day just burdened by their sins because they don't understand that God will free them. All they have to do is accept that God gives forgiveness. I remember reading about a story about a guy driving in his little cart, and he saw this old man, and this old man's carrying this big burden on his shoulders, this big knapsack full of stuff, and he tells the guy, "You know what? You shouldn't have to walk, man. Get in the cart, I'll give you a ride." The guy got in the cart, but he kept the big burden on his shoulders. So he really didn't get the full benefit of riding in the cart. Folks, our lives are like that. If we go through our lives with God's forgiveness of sin available to us, but we still choose to walk around with that big knapsack full of sin all on us, we never fully get what God wants for us. We've got to accept that. So here's the prayer track for this portion. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to reveal unforgiven sin in your life. You know, one of the things you'll find as you get closer to God, as you get deeper in your spiritual walk, you may find places where you have unforgiven sin. Things that happen in your life that you, maybe you never thought of it as a sin. And now God's saying, you know, when you have that attitude toward that person, that's a sin. You need to get rid of that. God is faithful to us, so if you ask God to forgive you, first of all, He's going to forgive you. Second of all, you ask Him to reveal unforgiven sin, it's going to help. It's going to be there. He's going to show you. Then just ask Him to forgive you again. Now, brings us to a great question. How much do I forgive? How much do I forgive? Okay, I get that I'm supposed to forgive people. How much? How much do I forgive? Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. I love this. Oh, I did it again, didn't I? That's what I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting those things. I don't care. Just go. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I don't say to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Okay. Get this straight. Peter gets his courage together and he goes to the Lord. And he says, "Hey, Lord, I got this guy that I'm tired of. How many times do I have to forgive this guy?" In fact, Peter thinks he's being generous. "You know what, Lord? I'll forgive this guy seven times." Pretty good, huh? All right. And he's expecting Jesus to say, "Good job. Wow, seven is really generous, Peter. I would have said three or four." That's what Peter's expecting. Peter's expecting an attaboy from Jesus here. "Lord, I'll forgive this guy seven times." And he wants Jesus to say, "Good job, dude. All right, I'm proud of you." You know, instead what he says is, "You know what, Peter? Not seven times. How about 70 times seven?" And Peter, great math whiz that he is, you know, starts calculating. 490 times? Wait a second, Lord. I'll give the guy seven. But 490 times? That's too much. Because Peter still doesn't get it. Peter still thinks that Jesus is saying he's going to be mean to you 490 times. Go back to the Lord's Prayer. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Peter, you can't live with seven times, brother. Not because this guy's going to be bad, because you're going to be bad. Peter, it's not him who needs 490 times, it's you. Think about it. You want to limit your forgiveness of other people? How many times do you have to forgive the people around you? How many times do you have to forgive your wife for the things she says, or your husband for the things he says, or your parents for the things they do, or blah, 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 blah. How many times? You could put a 7 there if you want to. If all you need is for God to forgive you 7 times. Anybody here can make it through a day on 7 times? Don't raise your hand because we'll call you out. We will call you out now. In fact, really, it's not 70 times 7. It's 70 times 7. Let's start there. You ever knew anybody kept score? Got my little black book. You owe me 25 cents from a quarter you borrowed from me 2 years ago. It's gaining interest. I'm going to be able to buy Fritos by the time you pay me. It's not like this 70 times 7 is a hard number, guys. All right, 70 times 7. Writing it down right here. Okay. Lynette, you're at 489. One more time, and oh, the hammer drops, baby. No. Because the principle is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. No, the principle is, Lord, I'm going to keep forgiving other people because I need that forgiveness. God, it's not that other people are so bad to me. It's, God, that I'm so bad to you. God, it's that I make mistakes. It's that I do things wrong. And Jesus tells Peter this, and you see Peter kind of screwing up his courage and saying, you know what, Lord? You're wrong. Because you don't say that to Jesus, though. You know, you're wrong. No, you don't say that because it could get ugly quick. I mean, this guy is the King of God, the Son of God. I mean, who knows? But he decides right then and there he's gonna change this. And he did what a lot of people do. He chose the wrong place and the wrong time. John chapter 18, verse 25 through 27 is where Peter made a stand. Should have made a stand. See, before this in the Garden of Gethsemane, you've got Jesus praying. Judas brings the soldiers. They go to arrest Jesus. And Peter, now Peter's a fisherman. He's not a soldier. Peter pulls out a sword. I don't even know where he got a sword. It's not like the normal thing these guys are carrying around. Bible, check. Offering basket, check. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, check. Sword, yeah, got one. Okay, we're all right. No, it's not like something you normally carry around. And Peter takes the sword, he takes matters in his own hands, and now is his time. He's going to prove Jesus and everybody that doubted him wrong. He takes a sword and he lunges at this guy named Malchus. Now, Malchus is there. Malchus is not an innocent bystander. He's there to arrest Jesus. And Peter thinks, he's the guy. I'm making my stand right here. And he whacks off Malchus's ear. I don't think he meant to whack off his ear. I think he tried to cut off his head and he missed. Remember what I told you? He's a fisherman, not a sword guy. Kind of always reminds me of Barney Fife. Remember Andy Griffith and Barney Fife? Had the one bullet in his shirt pocket. Pull the gun, and he had to put the one bullet in his gun, you know. And if he was shooting at you, you were probably safe. It's everybody else all around that was in trouble. Peter whacks off Malchus's ear. And Jesus heals him. Jesus picks up the ear, sticks it back on Malchus's head, which I think is pretty cool. Because I guarantee you, this is the difference between me and Jesus, one of the many. If you're coming to arrest me and take me to be crucified, somebody cuts off your ear, I'm yelling for him to cut off the other one. I'm not putting it back on for you. Why? I'm not God. See, Peter did what a lot of us do. Instead of being the person God wanted him to be, instead of reacting in a godly way, he spilled blood. He chose the wrong place, the wrong time, the wrong way, and he spilled blood. You carry around unforgiveness in your heart, you're going to choose the wrong place, the wrong time, the wrong way, and you're going to spill blood. Folks, you got to understand, unforgiveness is poison to you. It'll kill you. It'll kill you spiritually. It'll kill you physically. It'll kill you emotionally. This is the right place. Simon Peter stood and warned himself. Therefore they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Jesus had told Peter, "You know what, Peter? You don't even know yourself, dude. You think that you're going to be able to do all this? No. In fact, you're going to deny me 3 times tonight." And there it was. See, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off. It's not bad enough to get caught doing something stupid, but then when there's an eyewitness to catch you and say that you did it stupid. Peter's trying to get by with it. He's warming himself by the fire. It's kind of warm right here, actually. Warming himself by the fire. And this little girl says, "Hey, Peter, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" He says, "I am not." "Yeah, you are. I saw you with him in the garden. In fact, you cut my uncle's ear off." And Peter's got to be saying, "What do I have to do to get by with something here?" Unforgiveness is always going to catch up to you. It's always going to find you because you're carrying it along with you. See, right now, before the rooster crows, Peter's about to find out what 70 times 7 is all about. This is one of those times when you can't get by with 7, Peter. You need 70 times 7. I will tell you, though, that one of the most beautiful things in all of Scripture is in this passage. That verse right there on the board. Look at it. See if you can find it. One of the most beautiful things in all of the Bible is right there. It's not even a word. It's a period right after crowed. The period. Peter's denial of Jesus is never brought up ever again. See, that's the beauty of 70 times 7. Is that when forgiveness comes, that's it. No bringing it up, no remembering it, no saying, "Hey, you know, Peter, you're a good guy, but we all remember the thing with Malchus and the ear and the rooster." We remember. See, your friends will do that. People who don't like you will do that, but Jesus never will. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Remember Colossians where it said that we are to forgive as Christ forgave us? So doesn't that mean that when we forgive people, it's done? No bringing it up. No rubbing their nose in it. No saying, "Hey, okay, but, you know, if you ever do it again." No. We forgive. This is tough, guys. This is a tough, tough one to live through. So what's the prayer track for this? In your prayer time right now, forgive others. Set your heart to forgive others today. Wake up in the morning. "Lord, I want you to help me forgive others today." Because you know they're out there. You know there are people out there. They're gonna say something. They're going to do something. Set your heart to forgive. "God, today, the people that come my way, I want to forgive them the way you forgive me. I want to forgive them totally. I want to forgive them with all of my heart. God, I want just a clean break. I'll forgive them and go on with my life." It's the way it's got to be. We're not done, though. There's one more very, very important person you have to forgive. It's yourself. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive yourself. See, because you're not restored to the Lord until you forgive you. This may be the hardest step of forgiveness of all. I find it easier to forgive other people than I do to forgive me. Because I'm my own worst critic. No matter how bad you may think my message is, you'll never think as bad as I do. Or anything I do. No punishment any boss has ever handed out has been as harsh as the punishment I feel in my heart when I do something wrong. You've got to forgive yourself. See, we talk about being redeemed. We talk about the fact that we were sinners and then Christ came and died for us. We accepted His forgiveness and we're forgiven. But what about forgiving you? What could you do for God if you could forget all the bad you'd ever done? If you could quit carrying it around like a yoke around your neck? What could you do for God if you quit saying, "Yeah, but I was this"? Yeah, I would love to serve you and do this, God, but you know, remember what I was back then? See, the problem is we don't remember the period at the end of our sentence. The problem is we don't remember that Christ forgave us, and that's it. We don't remember that Christ forgives us totally, and then we have to forgive ourselves as well. See, I don't care what you've done in your past. You're forgiven. Ask Christ to forgive you. You're forgiven. How long will you let yesterday rip off today? How long will you let the sorrow, the pain, and the struggles of yesterday continue to steal today from you? We've got to be forgiven and know that we're forgiven and then accept it. Oh, yes, Lord, I know you forgive me, but I was such a crud. I know there's something more I got to do. We're clear. A guy gave me a motorcycle one time. Nice motorcycle. Big Honda Goldwing. Nice. Said God was emptying him out of things and gave me the motorcycle. I said, "Lord, empty a few more people." Do you know that was hard to accept though? Don't you want me to give you some money for it? No, I'm just giving it to you. Yeah, but don't you want me to, you know, shine your shoes or wash your car or something? Is there something I can do? It was a hard gift to accept. And we act that way with the Lord sometimes. Jesus says, "Okay, you want to be forgiven? I'll forgive you." And we say, "Okay, oh Lord, I understand I'm forgiven, but Lord, isn't there something more I got to do? Don't I have to, like, you know, slit a wrist or, you know, beat my head against the wall or scream and cry a little more, Lord?" We're good at that. You know, I grew up Pentecostal. You know, we would do those prayer services. And they'd tell you, "You got to come and tarry at the altar. You got to tarry at the altar." I don't understand what tarry means. I do know what it means, but I don't understand why we had to do it. And so you go down and you would just start telling the Lord, "I'm sorry for my sins, Lord. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins." And then you had to get really emotional. This Pentecostal. And he had to, and Rich Gary used to call it worm talk. Oh! And I'm sure God's in heaven saying, "You know, that's not really necessary. Really, not what I'm looking for." Hey, how hard is this? Everybody look right here. "God, forgive me of what I've done wrong." Not one of those, you know, and you got to mean it from your heart. I mean, that is the one thing. Not one of those things where 2 5-year-olds punch each other on the kindergarten playground and you say, "Tell them you're sorry."
"Sorry."
"Yeah, sorry. You're sorry you didn't hit them harder." I'm talking about being repentant. I'm talking about saying, "Lord, I recognize what I did was wrong. I don't ever want to do that again. I'm sorry." It's not a guarantee you won't do it again because you're human. You're stupid like all the rest of us. We're going to mess up. Sorry to break it to you that way. I've explained the word stupid to you, right? Stupid's a choice. You choose to be stupid. You go to La Hacienda, they put the hot plate in front of you. Waiter says, "Hot plate." what's the first thing you do? Touch it. And you say, ow, that's hot. Why? Because you're stupid. You knew it was hot, you touched it anyway. Right? Dumb, you're stuck with. You get kicked in the head by a herd of savage butterflies and your brain doesn't work. God bless you, I can't help you. You're stuck with that. Stupid's a choice. My jail this morning is full of people who are stupid. They chose to be there. Through their actions, through the things they did, chose to be there. Don't get stuck on stupid. Don't go through life thinking that just because you did something once, God can't forgive you. Just because you did it again, God can't forgive you. Look, my grandpa used to say, you can't ride the altar to hell. It doesn't go that way. That's why we are to confess our sins every day. That's why we are to go to God every day on a continual basis and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me of my sins. That's why it's there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we read it earlier. If we make it our habit to confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let's look at a couple of words here. If we make it our habit to confess our sins, He's what? He's faithful. That means He's going to do it. He's there. He's going to do it all the time. Faithful. Faithful to what? He's faithful and righteous. He's going to do it the right way. He's going to make you the person you ought to be. He's righteous. He's going to do it. He's going to what? He's going to forgive us. Forgive us. If we confess our sins, we make a habit to confess our sins, He's faithful, He's righteous, and He's going to forgive us our sins. And He's going to cleanse us. Cleanse us. From how much? All. You got a sin God can't forgive? Nope. Hear it again. Have you ever done a sin God can't forgive? Bible talks about one unpardonable sin, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And if you had done that, you probably wouldn't be here today. You've got to forgive you. See, God's already done it, hasn't He? You've got to forgive you. There's a great chemistry in the body of Christ. And that is that I have to forgive you. And you have to forgive me. Because we all need God's forgiveness. I can't withhold any forgiveness from any of you. No matter how much I want to sometimes. And you can't withhold forgiveness of me. No matter how much you want to. Most of the time. Because we both need God's forgiveness. That goes to every relationship that you have. Work, home, school, friends, family, everything. Last part of the prayer track, I love this. Savor God's forgiveness and accept it. Savor God's forgiveness. When is the last time, maybe never, that you thought of God's forgiveness and it was just like, come into a comfy chair after work. You're at one of those long, hard days at work. You got your own comfy chair at home. You sit down in it. And we all make that same noise. That's God's forgiveness. That comfort. That peace that we get. That feeling of, I'm home and everything's okay. If you've never felt that today, you're missing out on one of the greatest things in life. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to give you a chance to savor God's forgiveness. And we'll just walk through the steps this morning. first thing you need to do is ask God to forgive you of your sins. And it doesn't matter what words you use. This is not some place where you have to be flowery and say all the right things. It's simply, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the things that I've done wrong. Quietness of the moment. Just take a moment right now and ask God that. God, forgive me of the things I've done wrong. You're so good to me, God. Thanks. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm just telling, thank you. If you've asked that, now believe it. Now believe that you're forgiven. God, thank you for forgiving me. You're so good to me, God. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving me, Lord. Now what about the people that have hurt you? This is where it gets a little tougher, huh? God, I want to forgive that person. Sometimes we have to, sometimes forgiveness is a process, guys. You start that process of forgiving. And you let God work in you. And then all this week, what I want you to do, as you're forgiving and as you're working, I want you to say, tell God, God, I thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, God, for forgiving me my sins. I want to just live in your forgiveness. Father, you are so good to us. You love us so much. God, this is not an easy message to hear, but it's so necessary for us, God, because we're just, God, I'm tired of seeing people who can't forgive themselves, God, and they walk around with these burdens, and Lord, or they haven't forgiven other people, God, and it just kills them, and it takes away their joy. God, I hurt for those who haven't been forgiven at all, God, who haven't accepted your forgiveness, God, because they just don't know. Father, help us. Help us to forgive each other, to accept your forgiveness, God, and most of all, God, to forgive ourselves. Thanks, Father. Thanks, Father. Stand with us. Finish the work you
have started in me. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.